Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on Jesus' evaluation of the church at Ephesus. Can you tell when there's a false apostle speaking? Can you tell when a true servant of God is speaking the word of God? Well, that's something that the church has faced all throughout the ages. And sometimes people get it wrong. Thankfully, the church at Ephesus, in most cases, got it right. And that's one of the things that Jesus praised them for. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, and we'll see this. This is in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. Jesus says, "I know your works, I know your labor, I know your patience, I know how you cannot bear those who are evil, and I know that you have tried or tested those pretending to be apostles, and you have found them," those who are pretending, the fake apostles, "you have found them to be fakes, you have found them to be liars." They sound like they're speaking the truth, but they're speaking lies. And that's a good thing that the church at Ephesus was able to spot these false apostles, these people in their midst who were pretending to be apostles, who had other people believing that, well, maybe these people are teaching the truth. But most of the people in Ephesus, the church overall, they responded appropriately because they knew the truth of God well enough to spot people who were counterfeit Christians, who were pretending to be apostles. They tried these people. They evaluated these people. They put them on trial. They weighed the evidence, and they found these people guilty of being false apostles, of telling lies. That was a good thing. So this word tried, where it says you tried those pretending to be apostles, the word tried does have the connotation of testings. And Christians should always be encouraging people to worship God in spirit and in truth, because false Christians are always tempting people to worship God in spirit and in lies. This is something that the Apostle Paul faced. Let's read about this in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29. In his farewell speech to the elders of the church at Ephesus, Paul warned them that grievous wolves would invade the flock. And these were evil men of many kinds, these grievous wolves, that would just come in and devour the sheep. They were of many kinds, but really they were of two main groups. First, there were the emissaries of the Jews who sought to entangle Christians again in the old covenant mentality and methodology of relating to God by using works of the law as the way to become righteous and to garner God's favor. You know where Paul said there's a thorn in my flesh? I believe that this was one of the thorns in his flesh, were these people who were emissaries of the Jews, who still had this old covenant mentality and methodology of relating to God by using works of the law as a way to become righteous and to garner God's favor. They followed Paul everywhere, trying to undo his new covenant teachings that salvation comes through faith, i.e., faith that we have been forgiven of our sins because Christ died for us, i.e., faith that we have been given righteousness without works of the law because Christ lived a sinful life for us, i.e., the faith that we have been given eternal life because Christ has been resurrected for us, and i.e., the faith that Christ is writing the law upon the two tables of our hearts and minds through the Holy Spirit so that we can live for God by loving God with all of our hearts and minds and loving our neighbors as ourselves. So that's the one group that really we're trying to bind people in legalism. And legalism is where you keep the law in order to be righteous. You keep the law in order to really almost demand that God gives you certain blessings. But then on the other hand, you had those who tried to turn the liberty of God into license. And this liberty of God is that We do need to keep the laws of God, but not for righteousness, because no amount of keeping the law can make us righteous. We can only be righteous if we accept Christ by faith, because he was the only one who was righteous according to the law, because he kept all of the law. He never sinned. So his righteousness, which is 100% perfection in keeping the law, that's God's definition of righteousness. It's either 100% perfection in keeping the law, or it's unrighteousness. Any sin, one sin even, out of a whole person's life, and that person cannot be considered righteous according to the law. Therefore, only Jesus Christ, who never sinned ever in his life, achieved righteousness through the law. And so we have to, by faith, accept Christ's righteousness as our righteousness. But yes, we still do need to be keeping the law of God, because that's the way of life that shows love toward God and love toward our neighbors. That's why God is writing his laws upon our hearts and our minds. It's not any longer on two tables of stone like the Ten Commandments in the Old Covenant were given to Israel. Now it's the Ten Commandments written on the two tables of our hearts and our minds. It's internal. It's not external. It's on fleshly hearts and minds, not these hardened hearts of the stone. That's what it was representing when it was written on the two tables of stone, was the hardened hearts of the Israelites, because they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. They had God with them, but they did not have God in them. We not only have God with us, but we have God in us, because now we have the Holy Spirit in us. And that's what makes all the difference in the world. So that's the liberty that we have, is to follow the laws of God without trying to achieve righteousness through keeping the law, but just keeping the law because we love God and we love our neighbors as ourselves. We're not trying to keep the law to earn eternal life. That's been given to us already. So we're free from that. We're liberated from all of the motivations for keeping the law for the wrong reasons, trying to get something, or because we fear that we won't get something, or we fear punishment. We're free from that. We have liberty and freedom to serve God simply because we love God. But some people turn this liberty into license, teaching that since the old covenant has been done away with, and that means that the Ten Commandments on two tables of stone has been done away with, that therefore God's eternal spiritual law has been done away with. So people come to the conclusion that we no longer need to keep the Ten Commandments, but that's not true. They obviously never understood what Paul taught when he wrote, "So indeed, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. For we know that the law is spiritual. I'm the one that's carnal, sold unto sin, but the law is spiritual. The law is holy. The commandments are holy, just, and good. Because the law of God, in the letter and spirit of the law, when we have a proper understanding of the commandments, the spirit behind the law, which is love, love toward God and love toward our neighbors, because the first four commandments teach us love toward God, and the last six commandments teach us love toward our neighbors. When we understand the spirit behind the law, when we understand the spirit of the law, that it's love, then we want to keep the law. And so there's no license to do away with the law and therefore to do whatever we want contrary to the law. No, that's hypocritical. That's ridiculous. It's not taught in Scripture. But there were some false apostles that were coming in and teaching either one of the two things, that you need to keep the law in order to have salvation, and that's the old covenant mentality. You have to be righteous according to the law, and therefore you will have eternal life. Or on the other hand, you don't have to keep the law because you can't keep the law perfectly, so therefore you don't have to worry about keeping the law at all. Both opinions, both spectrums are wrong. What's in the center, what's in the middle, what's the balance, what's the truth of the scripture is that we accept by faith that we have forgiveness of sins. We accept by faith that we have righteousness. We accept by faith that we have eternal life. And we accept by faith that God is writing His laws upon our hearts and in our minds so that we can be free to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's all we need to be concerned about. And God's law teaches us how to love God and how to love our neighbors as ourselves. So that's the balance. But Paul was being accused as a false apostle, unfortunately. And he comes back very strongly and he gives his credentials and then tells people, wait a minute now, you're falling for these fake apostles and you need to get your acts together. And we can see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 1 through 15. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 1 through 15. He says, listen, I would that you would bear with me in a little bit of foolishness, but indeed you do need to bear with me, because I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one man, to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear by any means that as the serpent tricked Eve through his subtlety, through his craftiness, through his counterfeit teachings that appear to be so close to the truth, that in the same way, your thoughts are going to be corrupted from the simplicity that's found in Jesus Christ. For indeed, if there's someone who comes to you and proclaims another Jesus whom we have not proclaimed, or if they proclaim another spirit which you did not receive from us, or if they teach you another gospel which you have not heard from us, I'm fearful that you might put up with these people instead of putting these people out. For I judge myself to have come behind the highest apostles in nothing. I'm not lower than the other apostles, so why are you treating me this way, is what he's saying. But even if I am unskilled in speech, because maybe somebody was a better speaker than he was, yet I'm not behind them in knowledge. In every way I have been clearly revealed to you as a true apostle. So what is the problem now? Why are you being turned away from the truth? And now dropping down in verse 13, he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Did not even Satan transform himself into an angel of light? Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, but their end shall be according to their works, and you should be able to tell people according to their works. And so Paul was very upset, because Paul did all kinds of great works in the name of God and taught people according to the word of God, and now they were discarding Paul and they were accepting these false apostles who were teaching them contrary to the gospel and also didn't have the good works to back up what they were talking about. Thankfully, though, the church at Ephesus as a whole, they did try the false apostles and they found them to be liars. So what about you? Can you recognize false apostles? Well, if you continue to listen to this program, if you log on to our website and read our free literature, then you will be able to spot false apostles. You will be able to spot those who are teaching the truth. Because on this program, the ABCs of the Bible, we teach the plain truth.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.